Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, today on CarCast, we're going to get an update from Bill on his Super Garage. We're going to talk a little bit about some EV stuff, of course. What's going on with Dodge and EV, new Mercedes EV, and what's going on with BMW's design language on their new vehicle as well. All of that and more. Before we get started, a word from Rock Auto.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write CarCast in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. Hey, man.
Happy Hanukkah to you.
Happy Hanukkah to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Are you getting a garage for Hanukkah?
Yes, I am. Not for Hanukkah, but if Hanukkah was in 2 weeks or a week. But yeah. I spilled the beans and let you know that a week from today that the building will start showing up on site, and we will start erecting it as soon as humanly possible, man. So I'm ecstatic.
So it took a little while, just to recap, it took a little while to get that foundation situated.
You are the master of it. Took a little 2 years to get a foundation laid.
Good 2 years. It took like a year to dig up the rock. So where you are, your land, it's just basically, there's like a nice little layer of dirt, and then it's solid rock.
Well, yeah, and think about this. I mean, this is the situation that I'm in, right? So I wanted two gas pumps, functioning gas pumps, right?
Oh, okay.
So what do you do with the fuel? You got to bury it. Well, I didn't think about that beforehand, so now I got to have the trucks come in and cut rock another 6 feet or 8 feet or whatever it is down, and you know, put the fuel underground. So I'm not going to store it on top of the ground by any stretch of imagination, but just an example of one of those things that prior to even it being erected, you know, I have to deal with. So,
but that task can go further away from the garage, you know, you know, a convenient location and in a piece of ground that makes sense. It's not going
to
be,
well, if I have pavement to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It doesn't have to be in close proximity, but it would be nice, you know, if it was right off of the paved road.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. And it's just a small detail.
Of course, you're building this on, you know, out on your ranch.
Granted.
On fresh property. So also had to bring in all, you know, power, not just, hey, string it from the house. Like, you had to put up power lines, well water. There's quite a bit going on over there. But as we discussed before, you're working with Metron, and it was designed largely as a prefab unit. So, you know, so the idea is, as the pieces start coming onto the property and they take inventory of everything, it starts to come together rather quickly. And then what happens is it slows down as all the finish work is done. And you're sitting there going
100 miles an hour and hitting a brick wall. Yes, I can't wait for that time. But the reality is, here we go again. Yeah, that can't happen until the project starts, right?
So yeah,
as long as it's being erected, then I'm fine with issues of stopping and halting progress to address the millions of things that are going to come up along the way, whether it's drainage, whatever it is. It's just, you know, it's a plethora of things. But
this is definitely
to know that it's going to start in motion.
This is definitely the time to keep an eye on that budget, by the way, because this is where scope creep starts to happen.
Yeah, the budget's already gone up. Yeah, the budget's already increased to $500,000, unfortunately.
Well, most of that was probably just realizing how difficult it was to dig into the ground and put that foundation down. I mean, that's
that and the price of labor, you know, now during this.
Steel is up. Wood is up. Everything's up.
Everything's up. But, you know, the most frustrating frustrating part is that when I drive into town, you know, you go through these industrial areas and I've seen, I don't know, three or four of those, not similar buildings, but three or four buildings be completely erected, you know, since I got my foundation laid. So I mean, I know it's six of one, half dozen of the other, and it's looking at apples, comparing apples to oranges, because mine's a little bit more intricate than what they're doing. But yes, it's quite disheartening seeing three or four structures going up while I'm trying to get mine done. But hey, at the end of the day, there are many people in the world that have much bigger problems than me putting a garage up. So as long as it goes up, you know, eventually, then I'm cool with it, you know.
Yeah, look, and like you said, when it's done, though, it's built the way you want. It's built to your specification. It's on your property, which was really kind of a big motivation for the property that you have. Like, getting it was Wanda and the animals and the barn, and you going, great, but I also want to build my dream garage on the property. Like, you know.
And it seems like I've been here 10 years and I had that garage, and I keep getting bills from the storage department, from the storage facility. But, you know, I mean, fortunately, they're a write-off, and good thing come to those who wait. So
a couple of weeks out, you know, a lot of this is metal. So as you're saying, it's getting coated and powder coating different paints and things like that. And then as it's...
We were 3 months behind just with the powder coat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he probably was like, sure, I could powder coat your little garage. And then you're like,
me just go out and buy a 60-foot oven.
Yeah, yeah. Then he realized this thing is ballooning up quite a bit. But anyway, that's excited. I'm happy for you. I can't wait to see it. I've kind of been stalling on a trip out there until this is done.
I've been stalling on a lot of things. You know, I started my YouTube channel, Goldberg's Garage, and I posted one photo or one video of the lawman being delivered. But what am I going to do at Goldberg's Garage if I don't have Goldberg's Garage? So I have compiled a bunch of videos that will be edited properly.
Yeah.
And once this thing starts going up, that channel is going to explode, because I'm going to do a bunch of live videos out there. I'm helping, you know, I'm off the rest of the year. So I'm not doing anything but labor.
So now we're going to start to see some video content from you on the build of this garage, right? So start rolling out like the concept drawings and how it ended up, you know, maybe a little bit like where it started and where it ended up. I mean,
yep.
We'd love to hear the story here as well, as you're showing some of those images of how this thing has evolved. So, it's going to be it's interesting. But look, don't be shy about it. I want to hear about it. I think it's a fantastic feat. You worked hard for it, and it's going to be a sweet place. So be happy about it. Be sure to call Chris and pick his brain a little bit when you dial in that podcast studio.
Oh no, you guys are flying out. That's when you're coming out.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Fly out here.
You're gonna
design my podcast room, my sound room.
Yeah, it sounds like a good trip to me. I'm down for that for sure. All right, so some more car news. So BMW unveiled their XM concept. It's their first standalone M car since the M1. It's a hybrid SUV. It's their top of the line full size, like it's a big SUV, and I don't know what's going on with BMW, but they just continue to beat their vehicles with an ugly stick, and I just don't understand why. Like,
who's designing?
Like the big grill, the big buck tooth grill that was coming out. Like, it's been out for a few years now. People have spoken up about it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's translating to sales. Maybe this is a question for, you know, for Alistair at Edmunds, like pull the sales data and say what's going on.
I don't see how.
Certainly, everyone that drives the cars are saying it's still on par. It's BMW. They perform great. The M4 is fantastic.
Because you can't see the grill from the driver's seat.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just this SUV is just, I don't know. For me, it's just out of control. The design of this thing is I don't know. It's too over the top. It's got a lot of silliness to it. And I thought we tried this at one point when we started doing the really, really sharp edges on cars. And I think we kind of figured out we always kind of like the beautiful curves of, you know, some of the 60s European cars. And I always thought, like, when the Alfa Romeo, I forgot the letter now. I can't forget the letter. The 8, you know, the little two-door coupe. Front engine, you know, it wasn't the best performing car, but just a curvy fenders and beautiful lines to it, and
you know, beautiful car.
Even the Fisker Karma, like when the Fisker came out,
beautiful.
You know, had haunches on the C8, the Alfa. Thank you, Chris. The Alfa Romeo 8C. They did the 4, right? The 4C was the little one, and it had some curves on it. But I thought the 8C was gorgeous.
You mean the little herb?
So yeah. So the 4C was the little one, and the 8C was bigger, but not that much bigger. And that just always had some really pretty lines to it. And then Cadillac came out with like this CTS-V, right? And it had some very, very sharp lines, especially the two-door coupe, right? It had kind of a
beautiful.
Kind of like a B2 bomber, I think I'm finding. Mm-hmm. Is it the B2 bomber and the other fighter? You know, very kind of angular, sharp edges. And then we kind of
very
did away
distinctive.
With that.
If you see one of those vehicles, you know exactly what it is. I mean, I think it's a beautiful little car. It's a quirky looking car, but it's a badass car.
It is. And the wagon, by the way, that generation CTS-V wagon, in wagon form, it's more of a timeless design. It's very cool. It's going to end up in museums as a design
it's
piece.
Badass.
It's going to end up in the Peterson. But anyway. BMW is pushing the envelope, if you will, on the design of this XM. But of course, you start reading about it, and you're like, "Oh, it's a V8, probably a V8 turbo with hybrid technology, 740 horsepower, 738 pound-feet of torque, up to about 30 miles on electric only in EV mode," which again is kind of below the threshold that I would like. I think like 50 miles is kind of the sweet spot. It just, I don't know, it's just 50 miles. Like, we've had this discussion with Adam as well. And so Adam drives the Lincoln Aviator hybrid, and it'll do like 19 or 20 or 21 miles, something like that.
What's the point?
And well, the point is it shifts on and off. So the overall improvement in MPG is shared with that battery. But his thought was like, yeah, but when I'm staying and, you know, when I'm at the house in La Quiñada and it's only, you know, he's like, it's not quite there to like do the trip there and back, you know, on the 19 miles. You know, it needs about, you know, 40, 50 would be nice because it's about a 30 mile round trip. But he's been trying it out. He's been plugging in the thing every night. He's been going home, and when he's settled in, he plugs it in. He gets his 20 miles range, and then he was looking at what it does to the overall fuel economy or the overall range and fuel economy of the vehicle as he's driving and commuting. And it does help, right? It does help. What he did was he was plugging it into the normal 110 outlet because that's what was convenient. Lynette has a Tesla in the garage. And then I think we ended up finding – he found an adapter plug. It's like an 18-inch long, you know, pigtail plug. It plugs into the Tesla charger and then it plugs into his car. It makes the Tesla charger the universal – you know, 240 plug that you'd find in a shopping mall or a grocery center. You know, the vehicles, the car companies have their proprietary plug. But then when you go to a mall or something, everybody has like the shopping mall has or the Charge America program. They have a 240, but it's a universal plug and it's designed to fit both the proprietary plug, like Tesla fits the Tesla plug, and the universal. And then BMW fits the BMW plug and the universal, right? The Mustang Mach-E, same part.
Tesla battery and plug that adapter in.
Say that again.
Could you go to a Tesla battery port or bank or whatever it is and use that adapter? You can't.
No, you can't because the Tesla superchargers, that network, is the Tesla plug. So I think, in theory, I guess you could. I think it would be frowned upon, but that's an interesting point. You know what? The other thing is I'm going to, I don't know for sure. Don't drive a Tesla, but I'm going to speculate and say that when you're at the Tesla network, the supercharger network, and you plug into your car, it probably reads some identification or a VIN number. 100%. You know, but your Tesla home charger, they don't need to put that in, right? Because they don't need
to. There's people out there hacking that right now.
Yeah, there's probably something, right? But it's probably hit or miss. So, like, if you were going to gamble, like, I'm going to drive to Vegas and my Lincoln or my Mach-E, and I'm going to pull up to a Tesla charger, and then you're like, all right, but if it doesn't work, I don't know what you're going to do. Good luck. You got to go find another public charger someplace. So, or just find an outlet. I'll at a car wash or something and just sit there for 8 hours and or however long at least it gets you on that 110. Yeah, just to get you that. So anyway, BMW hybrid, it's going to make big power and it's going to be fast and it's going to be fun, but it's going to look goofy and I don't know, like my
– Sounds like the 928.
Kind of, yeah. At the SEMA show, Small World, so – I was in the Magnaflow booth hanging out with Richard Waitis, and one of the cars in his booth was a wide-body C8 Corvette. TJ Hunt, a big influencer, YouTube guy, nice guy, his car was there. But my neighbor out here for Bravago and Motorator, my neighbor is Lee Coleman, who runs Street Fighter. He makes the body kit for that. So he was showing me on his phone. He's like, check out the body kit. This is what we're developing. And then I go to Vegas and
see
the car is there and I see the car there. It's just kind of a small world in that regard. But my point was when the BMW came out, he was like, we've got to change the beak on this car, right? Like. Yeah. And I know they worked on it, but it's not nearly as easy as you would think. They took the whole front off of that car, the bumper cover, all kinds of stuff. But BMW has the front of that thing just so packed with electronics and fans, and there really wasn't any room to do it without extending the front nose of that car significantly. You know, because if you want to get it to slope down more, make the grill smaller, they'd have to bring the nose out and kind of almost keep it empty just to bring the nose down. There, it was so jam packed in the front of that BMW that there's not much you can do to do it.
Put a nose on it like an old Daytona.
It's a thought, but it definitely would start to stick out. Like put like a Super B, you know, like
but like Jimmy Durante in a vehicle form.
You know, and if he made the grill smaller, it actually would end up blocking a lot of the functional like cooling and things. So there was just I think he was just saying there's no real solution to it. So, you know, it's too bad. You had some good ideas.
Before you get on another electric vehicle, here is the conundrum that I find myself in, and I'm wondering how many other people are finding themselves in. At this push right now to get rid of the combustible engines, right?
Yeah.
And like, look at what, for instance, Dodge is doing with the 25-8 promotion and all the other promotions that they're doing the rest of the year, where you can go in and build, you know, just about the gnarliest car that they've ever offered, you know, in different configurations. Do you try to go out with one last bang like the manufacturers are doing, or do you concentrate on this EV movement and possibly get the new Charger that Dodge is coming out with, the new EV or whatever EV they're coming out with?
Yeah.
You know, do you wonder about initial technology, and do you want to let it sink in for a couple of years and work itself out? Or do you, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Do you go out there and be one of the first EV guys that has one of the badass cars, the first EVs, or do you go out with the bang, you know, and push that decision for a couple of years, you know?
Yeah. So if you're asking me personally, you know, I already showed my cards a little bit on the answer to that question. Is I went out and bought a 2021 Mustang Mach 1 because I did want a V8 and I wanted a manual transmission and I wanted the sound and I wanted to like go to Magnaflow and do the exhaust and mm-hmm. I wanted to do it on a modern car. I drove it here today. I bought the car in like June or July. It didn't get delivered till I think end of August, right? Which, by the way, when you buy the car, the registration you pay is back for June and July. So I got my license plates in the mail. I'm like, what the hell? These things are going to be expired in 7 months. I'm like, I didn't even get the, you know. And to that point is somebody, a friend out here said, hey, we're doing a track day. Would you like to come out to the track? I was like, yes, I want to. That's why I bought the car. And then I realized I've got 458 miles on the car. It's not even broken in yet. So I had to turn it down. I can't go to the track yet. But yeah, so my other thought is I bought the Mustang Mach 1 and I'm a little enamored by some of the new tech that comes out. How can we not be, right? So I put an order in. I put the silly $100 deposit down on the Ford Lightning. But as the days go by, I start kind of crunching the numbers in my head. I saw the truck. I like the truck. And, you know, I start thinking about, the base price, plain Jane truck's about $40,000. But once you get into something that's nice, the Limited – with all the nice bits and stuff. And it, you know, you're in the 90s, you know, range. I think the fully loaded Limited Lightning with whatever, with the biggest battery and all the options, you're at like $95,000. And I'm like, dude. And yeah, so I started thinking about, would I even want to spend that kind of money? You know, even in the $75,000 range, would I want to spend that kind of money? But also on a first gen vehicle that's going to have about 250 to 300 mile range. And I think we're so close. I think we're, you know, 2 years away from having, you know, 400 to 500 mile range. Look, Mercedes has announced it. Lucid is doing it. Mm-hmm. But those are the top of the line vehicles. When does that start to trickle down to more affordable vehicles? A very good example is Fisker. We talked about Fisker the other day. Fisker Ocean, the SUV, the Fisker Ocean, he's saying, look, $37,000 is my base price, and it's about a 250-mile range. He goes, but we are using the current and arguably antiquated already battery technology. And he said, the price is going to go up, and the range will go up when we switch to the new battery technology that he's working with his suppliers on, whether it's a solid state battery or whatever. He's going to, you know, he's like, we were going to get into the 350, 400 mile range, but that's a new battery. That's new technology. And that's kind of my issue is I'd love to see something in the 400 to 500 mile range. Mm-hmm.
100%.
And just because of what it takes to charge the vehicle. For me, especially with a truck, you know, I could drive the truck around town daily, not have a problem. But my thought was to use it for a Bravago. We have a warehouse that's out in Redlands. It's a little bit of a drive. There's a warehouse also that we may be working with in San Diego. Can I put a pallet in the back of the truck and drive to San Diego and back? You know, from LA. I mean, when you lived out here, do you recall how many miles was it from your place to LA when you had to come up and work in LA? Don't worry about time. Time
depends on where I had to go, but it was a little over, you know, 90 something miles, under 100 miles.
Yeah. So, and you were around the Oceanside area. So if I was going down to Oceanside, mm-hmm. you know, call it 100 miles each way. Yeah. You could pull that off in a Lightning at you know, with a 250 mile range. But if you had to go a little further, if you had to go or make a few stops while you were there, you know, now you'd have to stop to charge, or you'd really be getting down to the wire on that 250 mile range, because that's a 250 mile trip, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I'd be rolling back, you know, rolling back into the, you know, to the Matt Cave over here to plug this thing in, it would say, you know, 10 miles or 7 miles left on the range. And, you know, and then who knows, you know, also if I put a 1500 pound pallet in the back of the truck and brought it down there, does that do something to my range? And then when I drive back, it's empty, you know, but I don't think it really kind of balances out. So anyway, it's something to think about. So to answer your question, for me personally, I've had the opportunity driving a bunch of different press cars that I can make my daily driver something wildly inconvenient, like a V8 sports car with a manual transmission, right? So I do have that luxury that not many people get.
I want to build a red eye charger with a Helifant and have it be a 6-speed wide body.
I agree. I say do it, but I also can you also do it all wheel drive?
I don't know. I don't know if I can do any of the things that I just explained. But that's what I, you know, if that's what they're talking about, every performance option that they have had available throughout the years will be available during this jailbreak promotion that they're doing. Yeah. I mean, mighty, are you kidding?
Oh, you're saying build to order. So if you can call them up and go, hey, I want to do it build to order. I want the charger with a 6-speed. That seems
it's not, I don't think it's possible, but it's something to inquire about. Anything's possible.
Have them get as close as you can get, and then, you know, you're going to have Mario finish it up.
Well, 100%. I'm going to call Trussell and I'm going to say, what is the wildest thing I can order? Period. End of story. What is the thing that if all you executives could put your minds together and concoct the nastiest vehicle that you've ever offered, you know, how can I build?
So the question, Mark, if
you're listening to me, then
come on, Mark.
Expect a phone call.
Come on, Mark. I guess the question is a little less, what are they capable? What's their ability to build something versus capability? And what I mean by that is can they put a 6-speed in, deliver a vehicle that you want? I would say yes, they could probably do that. They could probably do it for SEMA or something else. But can they do it with a street legal VIN? I don't know, because all of those cars need to be kind of built and crash tested. Honestly, if you said put a Helifant in there versus I want a convertible top, they'd say convertible won't work. We'd never be able to crash test it. It's never going to work. Helifant can work because we're just adding horsepower to an existing structure that's already been crash tested. If you literally said, I want a charger with a giant, you know, panoramic sunroof and it doesn't have one already, they might balk at that more than putting in a 6-speed, because 100%. Of crash testing and shit. You know, unless he said, yeah, but I can't give you a street legal VIN number. It's going to have to be an off-road only car.
Okay.
That's what I would say. Oh, okay. and then
long decision making process for that.
Yeah, they're like, God, Bill's making a lot of noise on his property, but he never leaves the property with that charger with the 6-speed.
Why?
I don't know why he never leaves the property. It's so weird.
I don't know.
Okay, so moving on. BMW, super ugly. Genesis G90, really kind of sharp looking, by the way. Genesis unveils their new flagship sedan. They've only revealed the exterior of it. But look, I like what Genesis is doing. They're trying to compete with a high-end brand. This is a good-looking sedan. It's got some Bentley going on in the back. It's got a little bit of, I want to say, S-Class Mercedes styling in it. The lights, whether you like them or not, does give it a bit of an elegant look, this new lighting kind of that they're doing. Also, everything very smooth and kind of flush mounted, and all the gaps and trim are tightened up. That's what we just saw on the new Range Rover as well. That's what they did. They're like, everything's very smooth, flush glass, flush lights. Everything is very, very smooth, hidden door handles. And Genesis doing the same thing. And if the interior looks anywhere near what the interior does on the current Genesis models, like the GV80, I think it was the GV80, the GV70 SUV that I drove out to Barrett Jackson during the summer. His diamond stitch interior thing was nice. The security guard that kept letting him in at the loading dock, he was like, this is a nice Bentley. I was like, oh, sir, this is not a Bentley. And then we were into a conversation for 20 minutes. but that's what they want, right? That's what Genesis is going for. They want a conversation 100%. Starter. So
They've done a great job at doing it. What's this hullabaloo about Lucid going on in the press? Have you seen it?
I didn't see it in the press, but I did see the car. I went and saw one. What, and? Did you read something about it in the press?
Yeah, a negative, like they came out too soon and the numbers that they were posting or something like that. I'm not sure, but I guess they're up for car of the year. Did they get car of the year?
Yeah, Motor Trend car of the year. They got Motor Trend car of the year.
So how was it? I'll
tell you, it's like when I keep seeing it in pictures, I'm like, I don't know. It's like the stainless steel roof, you know, design and the C pillar, and then the whole roof is glass. So you're doing stainless steel with glass. I didn't love that design. If you think about Jaguars, the big car that they did, the Jaguar, I think XJ.
The
big sedan. I think it's the XJ, which I think is going to be electric, the next iteration. It had like this rear C pillar, like silvered out, like stainless out, to try to give it like this interesting floating effect and break up the line. And I didn't really love it, and I thought it played okay on a few colors. It was terrible on some other colors, and then I ended up seeing some of these cars like get wrapped. You know, it's LA, right? So people do color changes and they wrap it, and they do the whole thing, right? The roof and that panel, and you're like, oh yeah. When you see it all blue or all red or all black, it does look a little better. So that was my initial thought on Lucid. But I went over to this Century City Mall, the kind of the fancy mall over here in West LA, and there's a Tesla store in there, and there's a Lucid store in there. And I went in and saw the Lucid Air, the fully equipped, you know, big sedan that they have. It was in white, and in white with that kind of stainless panel, it kind of blended a little better. And I would say I was actually impressed getting up on the car in person. It definitely has a large kind of dominance to it. It does have a luxurious feel to it. It's not an inexpensive car. They're ranging somewhere from like $100,000 to almost $289,000. And I think the one that they had there was their launch edition or something. So it was the $180,000, $190,000 version. It was actually really nice. It looked really, really impressive. It had a presence to it. The interior was nice. Instead of the big giant screen that we're sticking onto the center console, and it's like a giant, I mean, it used to be the size of an iPad, but now it's the size of an iMac, right?
Yeah.
Their screen was in front of you, and it kind of was long and wrapped around like the right-hand side of the driver a little bit, and everything was done there in that screen. Mm-hmm. And that screen, the way it was mounted, sort of floated off the dash, but it was a in front of you kind of gauge and screen combination. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was gorgeous. I thought that was very well executed. My concern is, you know, Alistair brought this up last week. My concern is the big battery taking up the entire floor space of the vehicle. In the front of the car, when you're sitting, you're putting your feet kind of up forward. You're hitting the pedals, and the passenger kind of has the foot box that you're in. The rear passengers, it was very flat floor, and I would see especially taller people in the back. When you put your sit in the back seat and your feet are on the floor, your knees are going to go up high because the floor is completely flat. Now, granted, there's no bump in the middle. You don't have a transmission tunnel or anything, but so look, your dog is going to love it, right? If your dog loves to sit on the floor in the back, they got plenty of space. It's going to be great. But, you know, Alistair brought up a point. I forgot if it was the Taycan or something. He was saying, oh, you know what Porsche did was in the back seats where you would put your feet, they cut holes in the battery. And because normally you have a floor pan that yeah. is kind of bucketed down and you can lower your feet at a better angle. So, you know, I think around town or something in the back, it'd be fine. I didn't get a chance to sit in the back. The car was kind of roped off. They were giving little tours of it. I get it. It's fine. It's a fancy showroom. Only one vehicle was in there. I would wonder how comfortable you're going to be on a longer ride in the back seat of that car. And I wonder what it would be like, especially for a taller passenger. It looked like there was room back there, but there's no doubt about it. Your thighs are going to have to – a taller guy is going to have to put their feet on the floor. Their thighs are going to be coming off the back seat, right, because you're now at this weird seating angle, you know, this sort of A-shaped angle. I don't know. I don't know how comfortable it's going to be. For me, it's probably fine, so I'm not worried about it. I'm just talking to all you guys that are way taller than me.
We can put 10 of you in the back.
I was like, Kevin Hart and I can sit in the back of the thing, and our feet will still dangle and not even touch the floor. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. But I would say that the car definitely had a much more impressive presence, much more impressive size than I thought. Looking at this thing and then crunching the numbers in my head, going, holy shit, this big, beautiful machine, 1,100 horsepower, 0-60 in 2.5 seconds. So I was like, that's going to be impressive. It's interesting, though, because – and the range is like 520 miles, but like the 430 mm-hmm. or 450-mile range version, you have to have mm-hmm. the 19-inch wheels, which actually look pretty stupid on that car. You know, I was like, I was looking at it because the car is big, and it kind of need the 20-inch wheel on it. And I was like, it looks kind of stupid with with that on there. But yeah, Lucid is interesting. I didn't read what you read, but I'm guessing, you know, because they're a public company as well, they probably started to come out with some financial information, some sales numbers or some orders or whatever that's happening. So we'll see. But, you know, to continue this theme of EV, we talked about the Mercedes Mercedes EQS. We said, hey, coming in at 400 and something miles, 420 miles or 450 miles. I thought it could be very interesting. I thought the exterior design was kind of plain and kind of ugly. Alistair actually said that he thought they dropped the ball a little bit on the interior, not as luxurious as you'd expect from Mercedes because they've put that money into the EV technology. Mm-hmm. Well, Mercedes is now saying they're going to have a smaller vehicle called the Vision EQXX. Obviously, this Vision is some prototype. But two things to note. One, it's going to be smaller, more aerodynamic, more of a pointier nose, more of maybe more of a sports car look, maybe more of a Maserati, you know, look, having going down in the front. They're doing this for aerodynamics, which improve range. But the other thing I wanted to point out, which really caught my attention, was they're not debuting this at an auto show. They're debuting this at CES. And we brought this up before. CES being another venue, it's like it's a huge technological show, and Mercedes wants to make a point on technology. So they're saying this is a car we're going to debut there because we want to talk about the tech.
I think it's brilliant.
It's a great
idea.
What
other cars are going to be there debuting?
That's right. There might be a handful, but there's not going to be 700, right?
Exactly. They'll have no competition there compared to.
So it will definitely get attention. I think it's a great venue for them to release this. So they've only kind of released teasers, like a little bit of the silhouette, the teaser, and that's why I came up with this sort of this Maserati kind of front nose look. It's just a little bit based on the teaser. So, but they're saying they're going for a targeted 621-mile range, right?
So,
but this is what we're talking about, is when do you go from ICE to EV? When do you go from internal combustion engine to EV?
Yep.
And for me, it's not really at the 250 to 300, 320-mile range. It's at the 450 to, you know, in this case, 621. It's at the 450 range is kind of what I feel like what's happening. And believe me, the car companies are going to get there. The high-end companies with a lot of margin in the vehicle are going to get there first. But we're going to see it in an F-150 because of the volume and the size that they can do. And it's going to start to trickle down to the smaller vehicles, Mustang Mach-E and Tesla and so on and so forth. What's coming out from Hyundai and all this stuff. So anyway, kind of interesting on all of that stuff. And to your point, you know, Dodge is you know, they're definitely trying to create some hype, saying, hey, we got one last chance. Get your orders in.
But they have one cars. Chance in And that's 50% of their marketing right now. But they're also, you know, rolling up their sleeves. And if you think they're coming out with the first EV and it's not going to be badass, you're crazy.
Do we know yet? I haven't read up completely. Do we know yet if the next muscle car, the Charger or the Challenger, is going to be hybrid or pure EV? I don't know.
I cannot divulge any information.
let me see if anybody can divulge any information. I feel like we need to get Mark back on the show at some point.
Get him on the show. I think, especially with all the promotion going on, and you know, I got questions. Hey, we can ask him the question that I just asked you a minute ago.
So Tim Kaniskis in a recent interview is saying that there will be some plug-in hybrid models, and I don't know exactly which vehicles he means coming from that. But he also did say a few times now that whatever the next version of Charger or Challenger, there will be some sort of electrification, and he still wants a muscle car out of it. You know, and I'm not opposed to it. You know, I'd love to see something all-wheel drive, have a little bit of an exhaust note. I'd love to see a hybrid version with some electric motors on the front.
Well, yeah, they're certainly not going to pump all their fans up for this last promotion and then come out with a dud as their first EV. Not going to happen.
Right. And nobody, none of these car companies can do that. So,
no, you saw the shirt I wore in that video, right, for the 25-inch promotion?
Yeah.
That's a little Easter egg.
Let me tell you guys about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study your specific driving conditions to make sure you're ready for anything, even if it rains, actual cats and dogs. Hopefully that does not happen. We're getting some weather out here. We're getting a little rain out here. It's moisture in the air. It's getting my car dirty. Well, whatever the weather, Trico Wipers maintains maximum windshield contact. And no matter what your driving habits, you'll always find the right wiper blades for your vehicle. It's Trico, the future of wiper blades since 1917. To find a store near you and to see the latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. While we're on this, let me tell you guys about Geico as well. Whether you own your home or rent your home, either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already, or in Bill's case, erecting a new garage. So enough to do on the property. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. So anyway, the Dodge stuff looks kind of interesting. Interested to see what they're going to do in the muscle car lineup. We expect it from the SUVs and things like that. At the LA Auto Show, I saw the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer. Mm-hmm. Interesting design. It's going for more of a mainstream thing. The interiors were gorgeous. There's a couple trim models that weren't exactly my favorite, but I think they have a bright future. I think they'll get some attention. And apparently the off-road capability is still pretty much there, you know, above average of what you'd expect for an SUV, but about average, you know, on par with what you expect with something with the Jeep name. So we'll see how that goes. Sort of in that thought, I'm starting to see more Broncos on the road. People are starting to get deliveries. I
know I almost killed my neighbor the other day because I saw one coming towards me on our road that was exactly as Gage's truck was ordered. And I thought he got one in before us and copied it. But no, it was our other neighbor.
I got to go
beat him. But, yeah, we got some good news. Gage's will be built the 10th of January. So
okay. You know. How'd you guys do it? All black?
No, sir. He did the gray kind of, I don't know, anvil gray. I don't know what Ford calls it, but it's a gray. It's a four-door, you know, for safety. We want a weight distribution a little better than the two-door. It's not going to be on an 8-inch lift or anything like that. I'm going to probably drop it as low to the ground as possible just to get the center of gravity down. But, hey, man, it's a great first vehicle. I'm excited for it.
I'll tell you about the Bronco and that combination. Let's do this. Let's just take a quick break. We're going to throw to Rock Auto.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business. Serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write CarCast in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, so the gray that you're talking about, somewhere near me, I don't know what was going on, but over by our warehouse, somebody rolled up in that vehicle. Now, it didn't have the top on it. They ordered the soft top. The weather was nice. So the top was down, but it was that gray. It was the four door, and it was the whatever version with the biggest tires and the whole deal. I don't know if that's the Badlands or Sasquatch or whatever. I lost track of all of them. The gray isn't too much different than the fighter jet gray on my Mach 1. I want to say it might have like a little bit more blue in it. It's a little more blue gray. But I saw it and I was like, this Bronco four-door, with in this color with the blacked out wheels. I was like, this thing is nice. This thing is really looks badass. Cool. Yeah,
it's a good looking vehicle. I'm gonna get his wrapped pink before I give it to him.
You totally should.
I'm going to.
At the very least, put a giant pink bow on the hood and make him take all the photos of him.
No, I'm going all in. All in.
All in on it. It'd be fantastic. But I think you guys ordered a nice one. I think that color combination is very, very cool. And you know, when I went out to SEMA, I did the Bronco
experience
off rodeo, the off rodeo. And Chris reminds me of the name, the off rodeo experience. And I was in the 4-door version of it. And it's obviously in LA, everyone's going to get one of those things and roll around town and it's going to be the mall crawler. And as much as I am almost on board with that, because they're so cool looking, getting it off road, it was a badass thing. And just even getting just a 15-minute little tutorial of going high speed, going slow, doing the rock climbing, doing the disconnect on the sway bars and the different front and rear differentials and hitting the buttons on the dash. And I would say by all means, you guys should go and do one of those events. When you get the Bronco, do the Bronco off rodeo, whatever it is, the half day event. I think there's one in Texas. I don't know how far from you.
I can't be at a Bronco event for half day. No offense.
Well, listen, maybe Wanda and Gage want to go because she's down for that kind of stuff. And even if you went and did, you know, the 20-minute tour, I think you're going to be impressed with the capability of that truck and how they put everything sort of within touch, just sort of a fingertip, just arm's reach. You're gonna
do
that.
Do it from Gage.
Yeah, I think I'm just saying we're starting to see, you know, the photos coming out of the Bronco Raptor, and I think I have a feeling you're gonna get an order in on one of those.
No, I'm waiting to see what the TRX evolves to next year.
Well, you've got a TRX; it's got 1,000 horsepower.
And, I got 6. Challengers too, but it doesn't stop me from getting another one.
Yeah, you're gonna get an EV Challenger. All right, listen, we're running out of, we're pretty much out of time for today, so we're gonna let you go. We're gonna let you all go, but guys, thank you so much. Of course, so we're at carcastshow.com is the website. Carcast Show is our social media. Follow me at Moderator. We always appreciate that. Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. And do this, go to YouTube, find Goldberg's Garage, subscribe to the YouTube channel, so at least you start getting the updates. So you'll get the updates as they start to come in. So that'll be good. That'll be looking forward to that. And you know, supply chain issues that we're running into, big pain in the ass, but working on Bravago hard seltzer for you guys. Looking like January, we'll have the website. We're going to be shipping direct to 29 states. So that's coming soon, as well as some new product announcements I think we're going to have toward the end of January.
Let me know when you're headed down to San Diego. I'll hook you up with my brother, and you guys need to talk Bravago strategy, please.
Love it, yeah. Appreciate that. I will be at the PRI show coming up December 10th, Friday, December 10th. We're doing CarCast live at PRI on the main stage, 10 o'clock in the morning, local time. I'll be talking with Chris Kirstein, the president and CEO of SEMA again, and we will be talking to one of our friends in the drag racing space. We're just locking in the details on it. I'll be posting it to social media, as I'm sure he or she will as well. But we're going to dig into some drag racing as well. I'm excited about PRI, having not been there before, and being able to do a live show there. So looking forward to that. So PRI, Friday, December 10th. 10 a.m. on the main stage. Hopefully you'll come and join me. I don't want to sit there like a goof by myself because Bill can't make it and Adam can't make it. So please come out and at least pretend like we have an audience. I would appreciate that. All right, guys. Thank you. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast,
is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.